Yevamos Perek Tezayin Mishnah Beis. Again, testimony about dead guys. We don't believe sisters-in-law to testify about their sisters-in-law's husbands because we're afraid that since they will be Yevamos to each other, one of them might not want her husband to do Yibum with the other sister-in-law. So shtei Yevamos, there are two sisters-in-law who are not related to each other. They're married to two brothers. Nobody has any kids. So they are what they call Yevamos to each other, sisters-in-law. Zo omeras meis bali. Vezo omeras meis bali. Each one says, my husband died. Now, normally, when one says, my husband died, that's enough to let her remarry. But here the problem is, each sister-in-law has a brother-in-law, the husband of the other one. And you don't believe them to say that their Yavam died. So the problem is, the only proof that either sister-in-law has that she doesn't have to do Yibum is the other sister-in-law saying, my husband died. So they are each other's proof, but they are also each other's condemning. So zo asurim ibnei bala shel zo, v'zo asurim ibnei bala shel zo. Each one is forbidden to remarry, because the problem is, each one is testifying about the other's yibum situation by doing this. Because one of the husbands might still be alive, or both of the husbands might still be alive, then until chalitza is done properly, we don't accept the sister-in-law's testimony. Maybe she's faking her husband's death to ruin her sister-in-law's life so that she would then have to do yibum or chalitza and she wouldn't get the chance to be married to her husband. On the other hand, lezo edim, lezo ein edim, one of the widows brings witnesses that her husband dies. But the other one just testified by herself that her husband died. Esheyeshla edim asura, the one who actually brought the edim, can't get married because the only proof that her Yavam is dead is her sister-in-law saying, my husband died too. That's not good enough, so she can't get married. But the one who had no Edim that her husband had died, she can remarry because her sister brought Edim, her sister-in-law, that the husband was dead. So she has no Yavam to perform Yibum, so she's free. Lazu banim, lazu ein banim. Now, once again, we have two sisters-in-law. Each one says that their own husband died. One of them had children and was exempt from Yibum. The other one had no children and would have to do Yibum. Neither one has Edim that her husband died, and all they have is their own word on it. Esheyesh labanim uteres. The one with children can remarry because she can testify that her husband is dead and she doesn't have to worry about him, and she doesn't have Yibum anyway because she has kids, so she's fine. Vesheein labanim asura. But the one who has no children is not allowed to remarry. She might be free of her own husband, but the only proof that the Yavam died is her sister-in-law's word, and we can't trust sisters-in-law, so she can't do Yibum or Chalitza because she doesn't know if she has somebody to do Yibum or Chalitza. And so as a result, she has to wait around until we get proof. Nisyabmu, two sisters-in-law say that their husbands died. There's no children. There's no Edim. But in this case, there's two other brothers. Each sister-in-law says, my husband died. Each widow's statement is accepted that her husband died. Since we know who the other brothers are, they do Yibum with a different brother apiece. And so that way, then once they do the Yibum, then they are miyabim, they're married to this guy. Umesu hayivamim, and then the guys who did Yibum also died. And so now the problem is, no kids have been born. Once these women's second husbands died, now they need Yibum again. But there are no other brothers, so who's going to do Yibum? Who's left to do Yibum? The original husbands that they said died. But the only proof that there's no Yavam for them is the word of the sister-in-law. Ay, yay, yay, asuros lihinase, they cannot remarry again. Because we go back to those first dead husbands, a sister-in-law is not believed regarding the other sister-in-law's Yibum status. And so, even though they could have remarried based on their testimony about their dead husbands, but because of the Yibum complication, neither one can't remarry until we find out for sure that the original husbands are dead. Rabbi Elazar Omer, but Rabbi Elazar disagrees. He says, Hol v'hutru li'yivamin, once we allow them to perform Yibum, hitru l'chol adam, then we have to be matir them to everybody. By letting them do Yibum, we were admitting tacitly that their husbands were dead. So now, we can't start worrying about ruining one's sister-in-law or anything. What we have to say instead is that at this point, once they did Yibum, They're already out of that first marriage. So let's trust them enough to get remarried. Unfortunately, we paskin like the Tanakhama, however, not like Rabbi Elazar. And so as a result, we suspect that even after all of this, a woman might ruin herself just so she could get at her sister-in-law. And so we can't believe them, and so they're Shomeres Yavam, until we get proof positive that one or both of them are dead. Mishnah Gimel, Ein Me'idin Ela Al Partsuf Haponim. You are only allowed to testify. Anytime anybody wants to testify that a man died, so whether it's one witness or a pair of witnesses, they're only testifying that the man is dead if they saw Partsuf Haponim. They saw their face and recognized it. Im hachotem, with the nose. So that involves both cheeks and the nose. You have to be able to see. The Gemara says also the forehead. So if the guy was Voldemort and he had no nose, then you can't testify about him. You have to see the forehead, the nose, the cheeks, the outline and shape of the face. The eyes and the mouth don't have to be intact. They might have been destroyed, but everything else still looks like him. Afal pishiyesh simanim begufo. Even if there are marks on the body. So let's say they don't recognize the face of the guy who died. The face got blown up in some kind of bombing. But there's marks that could identify the corpse. Like he was tall, he was short, he was light, he was dark, he had a wart somewhere. So those marks aren't enough to identify him for certain. Unless it was something really unusual, like the guy had six fingers on his right hand, or he had a missing limb. So that would be allowed, say the poskim. Uvechelav, or even a highly unusual mark on the clothing. It's his coat and it's got his monogram on it, but the problem is maybe he lent his jacket to somebody else. There are some poskim who say that if he would never lend certain things out, like a signet ring or his wallet, then that could be identification. But we're very, very careful about what we say to make sure that the guy is dead. Ein me'idin elo ad shetetze nafsho. We can only testify that he's dead if the person, the witness, actually saw him die. Circumstantial evidence is not enough. Afilu ra'uhu meguyad. But not if he saw him cut all over and he seems to be mortally wounded and he's bleeding out all over the place. But maybe he was cut with a hot knife or something so that he's not bleeding. He was cut with some kind of laser that was a self-sealing wound. We don't know. Or vitzalov. If he was hanging by the arms, we can't trust that he's dead. On the other hand, if he was hanging by the neck, some poskim say we would allow her to remarry, but others say maybe they cut the rope before his neck snapped. We don't know. Ve'achaya ochelesbo, or the body was being eaten by a wild animal. Well, how do we know? If it was eating a non-essential limb like his arm, maybe he's still alive. If it was seen eating his brain or his heart, then we would allow her to remarry, because without a brain or a heart, he's probably not going to last too long. You're only allowed to testify if you saw the body within 3 days after it died. After 3 days, it starts to decompose so far that you can't recognize it and you can't reliably identify it anymore. So these are really John Doe halachas, law and order here in the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava Omer, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava says, not necessarily 3 days. Lo chol adam, not all men. Lo chol hamakomos, not all places. Bodies decompose faster in Miami than they do up in Alaska. But lo chol ha-sha'os shavim, not all times are alike. A fat man might decompose more rapidly than a thin man, say the poskim. Hot areas, it might decompose more rapidly. The identification, the three-day issue might not be concrete. It might change based on where you are. And not all times are alike. 3 days, maybe 4 days, it depends on the situation. But the Tanakhama disagrees. Tanakhama says 3 days, that's the limit. You have to see the body within 3 days of death. And in fact, the halacha follows the Tanakhama.